Good evening, Marvel Maniacs, and welcome to the next episode of Guardians of the MCU. We are recording tonight on March 21st, 2022. I am your host, Lizzie, because the girls have taken over and the boys have been Thanos snapped tonight. We don't got no boys. We're going to do what we want. It's going to be awesome. A reminder, we are a part of the Random Chatter Network. Check us out at randomchatter.com for information on our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from T Public. Joining me tonight, again, as I said, is old girls only, is Sheba. Because it's Lizzie and Sheba hour, and we about to talk Marvel!
Woo! We're going to have lots of fun. And try to keep it under the required time.
No, we won't.
I know, we won't. We always try.
Well, we won't. Try. I did set an alarm, but we'll probably ignore it.
I know, we'll probably talk right through it. Just kidding, yeah. Tim. We're going to keep it nice and concise.
Tim, we listen to the rules. We totally do.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Starting us off with a bang is the Miss Marvel teaser. It came out like right after our last episode, which was just Tim and I last week. And was I on it? No, I wasn't. I was supposed to be. I wasn't. Just kidding. I lied. After last week's episode, it came out and Sheba and I were not on the podcast. And so we did not get a chance to talk about the Miss Marvel teaser. Okay. First of all, I want to discuss how we are going to do a discussion topic on the Miss Marvel in general, the Miss Marvel, the show, the whole thing, because Sheba has very specific feelings about it and we need to do a deeper dive. So we're just going to touch on it right now, but join us for our second episode of the week as we're going to go into a deeper discussion topic about Miss Marvel in our second episode of the week. So let's just kind of like go through and touch on the points that Tim put in our notes today, and then we'll get into it deeper. Because I know that you're bursting to really get into it, Sheba.
Very much.
I know. So I don't know a lot about Miss Marvel. And again, we're going to discuss this in the other episode, but I'm really excited to watch the show. But there is a departure of her powers from the comic books to the show. That's something I think you can speak on more than I can. Sheba, do you want to take the reins on that?
Yep. So instead of having her stretchy, her embiggened powers or her shape-shifting ability, she doesn't have any of that. It's more, from what we could tell, it looks like a more of a cosmic power that she has that may come
really
from her.
Cosmic.
Yeah, that may come from her bracelet, from what we're assuming, which is, again, we'll talk about it further. A lot of the stuff that I've been seeing about people talking about this and me personally being a little sad that she doesn't get to do her stretchy, not even stretchy, but her shape-shifting ability. It's mostly because, number one, she gets her bracelet from her grandma and it's passed down from generations. So that's kind of important. So I don't know if they're going to do that or they're going to kind of change that up. But the other thing, her shape-shifting abilities is kind of what help her connect back to who she is as a Pakistani Muslim American. So it kind of helps her kind of appreciate that. Again, we'll go more into detail with it later on when we talk about it in the second episode. But that is something that she doesn't have anymore. The other thing that they're trying to stray away from is because the failure of the Inhumans show and all of that for the MCU, they're kind of trying to stay away from being inhuman, and Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, is an inhuman. She inherits her powers, or they become more prominent through the Terrigen Mist that she's exposed to. But because they're trying to stray away from that, I think that's why they're focusing more on the cosmic side of things as opposed to making it an inhuman thing. So I understand that change.
But you know what sucks about that is that, like, I know that Inhumans bombed, but like, I really loved, and I don't know, I'm not a comics reader, so those of you who are like really intimately aware of the comics, I'm not somebody who knows a lot about that, but I watched Inhumans. I actually went to see the premiere episode in theaters because I was so excited about it. And I loved that first episode, and I ended up going and reading a lot about the Inhumans through like Marvel and Wikipedia and like a lot of different sources to kind of get the bones of like what it was about.
Yeah.
And I find in humans to be really fascinating, especially because they're like the opposite of X-Men, kind of like that sort of polar opposite. So the fact that they weren't able to successfully introduce them really sucks, because I think that now that Marvel has access to the X-Men, it would be so cool to get into the Inhuman X-Men, like the counterpoints between those two groups. And Kamala being a part of that is just really interesting to me. And it sucks that because Inhumans did bad, they think that they have to stray away from that, when all they have to do is be successful at telling an Inhuman story, which they weren't, exactly. To be honest, to be fair to the viewers, they weren't.
Exactly. And Kamala's story, like she is around the Inhumans so much. So it's not like you could tell her story without telling theirs. So it's going to be interesting to see what they kind of do with her powers and how they, you know, change it around. Though I was hearing in the more recent iterations of Kamala's like comics, she does end up losing her powers. So she no longer has them. I haven't read the most recent comics, so that's probably why I kind of forgot that she loses her powers or wasn't aware of it. So she does lose her powers. So maybe that's why they're kind of resetting it in the MCU, which I can understand. But again, we'll go into more detail about her and her powers later on. But that's just, I'm still pretty excited about the show. I'm still nervous. But again, we'll talk more about why I'm nervous later.
Yeah, I think that that's really why we want to episode, 237 is what we're talking about. Is when we really want to go into it, because you do have this connection to the character and deeper expectations. And I think it's going to be really interesting for you and I to discuss that outside of just the news sort of thing. So definitely, if you're not, you know, just come back for 237, because we're going to deep dive into it. But the release date is June 8th on Disney Plus. The trailer really got me hyped, because I don't know much about Ms. Marvel. What I do know of her is basically like her first comic book is when I was teaching, when I was a docent out for my niece and nephew and her friends, my niece and her two friends who were all 14 at the time, they wanted to read a book together because they had to read for school. But two of the girls had a really hard time with reading. And so I suggested comic books because I think that's a really great entry point for reading for kids, like audiobooks and comic books. It's all the same. But I think a lot of times the school system looks down on those alternative reading, even though it's not alternative. And so they read Ms. Marvel because they got really excited about reading. They love the MCU. They love Marvel movies. They loved Captain America because of me. They love like Avengers. They love all of it. So I suggested Ms. Marvel because I thought that they would really relate to a young girl. Sort of the whole allegory of her discovering her powers. It really has a lot to do with puberty as well, I think. Is sort of the allegory of a young girl discovering powers in general. And they really loved it. So that's really what I know of Ms. Marvel, is that first comic book iteration that they read. So I read it with them and we discussed it and they loved it. So I'm very excited because I don't have this deeper knowledge of the comic books. And it is a great trailer, like just to say it. So very good trailer. Did you feel that way? Like the trailer got you excited even though you have reservations?
It really did. And honestly, again, my reservations are not so much about the character itself. It's more about everything else. Anyways, we'll talk about more of that later. But I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And I only watched it once because I was afraid I would watch it again, because one of my friends rewatched it and he was like, because he's Pakistani Muslim Canadian as well, like both the same kind of thing. And he was like, oh no, I noticed this and this and this, and now I'm worried again. So I was like, I just watched it once and I was afraid to rewatch it because I didn't want to like go into the nitpicky thing of it. So I just watched it once and I was like, cool. I was excited. And I'm like, that's all I'm going to do, because I don't want to keep watching it and overanalyzing everything just because, or analyzing it in a cautious way, because I've rewatched and overanalyzed other things before, but in a different way. So I just kind of watched it once and I was too afraid to rewatch it after that, because I just was like, I don't want to overthink everything. And I really, really want to love this show Because I love Ms. Marvel, not just because she's an awesome character, but also because the representation, the first time I've seen a Muslim Pakistani girl in a comic book. And I just, again, we'll talk about it later as well, but that's really why I'm really, really looking forward to this one. But I did get excited about the trailer.
Yeah, I do. Tim noted here in the notes that her powers in the teaser appear to be like an energy projection, mm-hmm. allowing her to form objects out of the energy, which is like kind of what we saw from Green Lantern in the DC mm-hmm. universe, yeah. which is tricky. But I think what's interesting about the trailer is it really, and I don't know, again, all I know is that very first comic book, but that sort of lands it in the Captain Marvel universe to me. Like it really right. felt like it belonged in what we're going to see from the Marvels and right. from America and Carol and Kamala. And I feel like they're really trying to link the Marvels together in a very mm-hmm. specific way, which yeah. is very cosmic. I mean, what we saw in Captain Marvel was extremely cosmic. Yeah. So regardless of whether or not that's genuine, like to the character in the comic book, mm-hmm. I feel like what they're really trying to do is link the Marvel strongly in this iteration, which again, we'll get into. We're teasing the next episode so hard right now. Okay.
I know, really.
Obviously, it's going to be great. the next point on our list, because we could really go on. We're just going to like... go to the next one, or else this is going to be episode two. Mm-hmm. Alert, alert, alert. The Netflix Marvel shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are now on Disney Plus. Is Agent Carter on there too, or no?
I didn't see anything about that. They'd only just talked about the Marvel shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as far as I know. I'm hoping that at some point they'll put Captain Carter on there Agent Carter as well, because they didn't say anything about it like being like not canon or anything. And it's the same, like it's still Peggy Carter. It's still the same actress. So I'm assuming eventually that'll be on there too.
Well, and what's weird is that like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter were very linked together on ABC mm-hmm. as like these connections to the MCU. So it's weird that Agent Carter wouldn't just come out with the rest of them, but whatever. Right. We'll an eye on that, but the Netflix Marvel shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are now on Disney Plus, which has been very funny because there has been a little backlash about mm-hmm. The Netflix Marvel shows because they are darker in tone being on Disney Plus, which also mm-hmm. like, ew, you're gross if you think that that's not a correct link, like go away.
Mm-hmm. And like it coincides with the with Disney Plus having the, what's it called, the age restrictions on Disney Plus. I think that came around recently as well. So, I mean, all of the characters, I mean, we have seen Matt Murdock in Spider-Man No Way Home, spoiler alert if you haven't seen that. We saw Kingpin in Hawkeye. So it only makes sense that they would move those shows to Disney Plus as well. And there is a rumor going around that they're going to do a reboot, quote unquote reboot, of Daredevil. So I'm assuming they're doing a new version with Charlie Cox, because obviously they have introduced him as the Matt Murdock in the MCU. So it makes sense
they have in No Way Home, but
exactly. So I mean, I don't think they're going to reboot and be like, here's a completely new thing. They're just probably going to either continue it or just make a, you know, just do something. I'm hoping they're just going to continue it, because rebooting it would just make no sense since the Netflix ones were so good. I wouldn't want to see it rebooted. I don't need to see it rebooted. Well, you know, just kind of continue with the story.
I think the words reboot are being used incorrectly here. I think that they're a catch-all at this point in time for any time a franchise is revisited. Right. And I think that is incorrect, because it's not going to be reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see that Charlie Cox has entered the MCU via No Way Home. Exactly. So we know they're casting a new actor. Therefore, it's not a reboot. Mm-hmm. It's a revisit at best, or like a final incorporation, which we always wanted from the beginning. So I think that the verbiage for reboots has been overplayed, and we don't have the proper vocabulary. Vocabulary?
Vocabulary. Okay.
I just do have to mention to you that I've been drinking some rosé. So if I say something stupid, don't come at me, okay? I'm just drinking rosé. Okay? The vocabulary does not have a word for what we're witnessing. And I think like reboot has just been overplayed. We don't know what to call it. It's not a reboot. Exactly. But what Tim has put in our notes, back to what Tim's ever stretching arm into this episode, reviews indicate that the Netflix shows have not been censored whatsoever through the primary Disney Plus account. But you do have to determine the profile settings to allow access, as Sheba was mentioning, with the sort of age restrictions, which I think is the right approach since we don't have, what is it, Disney Star in Netflix in other countries?
Yeah, Star.
Right, Star. So, I feel like it's very fair to have age restrictions and to make sure that your kids can't access shows like Daredevil. It's not an age-appropriate, child-friendly show. Mm-hmm. Like, if a kid... like a 10-year-old watched Avengers, I wouldn't say that 10-year-old would then be go over and watch Jessica Jones. Like, obviously not. And we can all agree on that. But to say that it doesn't have a place on Disney Plus where all the Marvel content is hosted is incorrect. It just needs to have parameters, which Disney has a place.
And it's interesting that a lot of that parents have been complaining, like, oh, you know, Disney Plus is like family friendly and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, I know so many kids who are like, I've seen Deadpool. And I'm like, you're under 13. Exactly. Like, I don't understand. So, I mean, the kids are seeing it, whether it's with their parents or with other people. It's just now you have to parent a little bit more, maybe. You have to be more aware, not maybe parent, but be more aware of what they're watching, and that you can't just put on Disney Plus and be like, here you go watch, which in my humble opinion is something that most parents shouldn't be doing anyways. You should be kind of making sure that you're aware of what your kids are watching anyhow, because you don't want them to kind of just watch something and be like, oh, that's how it is in life. But again, I don't have children. I just teach children. So,
Let's just put it out there. She was a teacher and I've been a nanny since I was 14 years old. So we do have experience with children, even though neither of us are parents. So let's just say that as a blanket statement to begin with. Mm-hmm. And also say that it is a parent's responsibility to go in and kind of know where your children are interacting with content and how they're interacting with content.
Yep.
Do they go into Netflix Kids or do you let them into Netflix regular and tell them what they can and cannot watch? That's up to you. But to say that it shouldn't be on Disney Plus because a kid might find it is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous statement. And as a teacher, Sheba, and as a nanny, me, we can say that. The end. Goodbye. Exclamation point.
Yep, exactly.
Lizzie's got some spice tonight and I don't mind telling you about it. Okay. Also, Tim noted that the Netflix logo has been removed from the opening credits of all of the Disney or the Netflix Marvel shows, which is interesting because they were Netflix Marvel productions. So that's kind of funny. Netflix has been fully removed.
I kind of feel bad for Netflix about that because they're the ones that brought these shows in and now
Right. Production-wise, Netflix was in charge of it. So it's kind of funny to see like the changing of the guard a little,
which I totally get it because it's on Disney Plus now and they don't want to have Netflix showing up, like popping up the logo popping up. I get why they did it. It just makes me sad for Netflix. That's all.
Like, we get it. We totally get it. But it's also kind of funny because I think that what happened was everybody put this like store of hopes and dreams into because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. bombed spectacularly, not as a show because it's a strong show if you just watch it in and of itself, but it bombed spectacularly in the linkage with the MCU, as did the Netflix Marvel shows. And everybody had sort of like really expected those to be very linked and they weren't. So it's kind of funny see them transfer ownership. And I think it's, let's just say, it's because of the fans' love of of the characters of Charlie Cox and Kristen Ritter and, you know, Mike Coulter and not Iron Fist. We're not even going to mention him. I'm not even going to say him. Nobody wants him to be.
And that other one.
I say that with full strength of my convictions. But we love these characters so much, we're not willing to see them recast. And I think we really stood up and said, like, if you recast Charlie Cox, we're going to have a problem.
We ride at dawn. Right?
Yeah. Like, get your pistols ready. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of beautiful to see them go over there and be recognized as canon. Mm-hmm. But it's also funny to see the Netflix logo removed. I think it's a both and situation, right?
Yeah.
Okay, our last sort of like MCU news is that the productions of Quantumania, The Marvels, and Secret of Invasion are all happening, or they were happening, at the same time in London. And Sam Jackson indicated that he was on all three of those sets, which tracks with what we know of his character and where he should be in the MCU. Although, mm-hmm. I don't think we would have thought he'd be in Quantumania, right?
I wasn't thinking at the time. I figured maybe the Marvels and Secret Invasion made sense, but I didn't even clock Quantumania as him being there. But, you know, honestly, that makes sense. But don't even know if, I was just going to say, I don't know, because Quantumania comes out before the Marvels and Secret Invasion, right?
Yeah, well, I think so. Wait, let's go to the bottom here of our little release date situation. The Marvels looks like February. Quantumania is July. Oh, no. So I think.
Okay. So it's Secret later.
Invasion is October.
Okay. So I was thinking, I was like, maybe we have, I was thinking maybe it would have been like Sam Jackson is as his, is like the, not himself. He's just kind of like a Skrull type thing. Like he was in Far From Home, but maybe not.
Okay, wait. Our calendar that we have at the bottom of our note says Secret Invasion October ?2022.
Okay.
Captain Marvel 2, The Marvels, February 2023, and Quantumania January 28th, 2023. So it looks like Secret Invasion would be first.
Okay. All right. Well, that is interesting.
These are completely up to date.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I wasn't thinking that he'd be in Quantumania at all. But hey, I mean, if he's coming back and there's something, I guess if we have, what's his name? Kang in it.
Right.
Then maybe, you know, Sam Jackson is there kind of being like, hey, I know what's going on. Or maybe they'll include Captain Marvel. Who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, I guess that would make sense.
I think since we saw him last, which was as a Skrull. Mm-hmm. We don't know where he is or what he's doing other than that they mentioned that he's off world in No Way Home. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's sort of a question mark around where he is. I would even maybe think that he'd be in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, honestly.
Yeah, because the last time we saw him was in that end credit scene, I think, in No Way Home, Far From Home.
In Far From Home.
Yeah, where he's on a ship, which I'm assuming was the Kree, the Skrull ship, sorry. And he was just kind of wandering around asking for where his shoes were. So I'm assuming that the Skrull know where he is, that he's there somewhere and that he's doing something or helping them. Or maybe it's part of, I mean, it was a while ago. So maybe it's part of one of the movies that are coming out or one of the shows. Or maybe it was just an extra thing.
Well, I think that's kind of the interesting part is that we don't really know where he is or what he's doing. So
yeah,
it makes sense that he could be in anything because he is such an integral part of, I think, what they're setting up for our next like Phase 4 overarching theme. I know that they're not doing like full on Infinity Saga tie-ins, Thanos style stuff, but I think that they are working on a Phase 4 overarching story. And I think that it makes sense that Sam Jackson will be a part of that.
Yeah.
Our final element of news is something we already talked about was the soft reboot of Daredevil. which we've publications include the listing of Untitled Marvel Space Project. Is that what they're called? Daredevil? That's weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't pin Daredevil for a space project. I feel like that would be more of a, because Daredevil's more of a street character than space.
It's on CB.com, so like, take that with a grain of salt, everybody.
Yeah.
You cannot stand. Cannot stand CBR.com. Apologies, but I cannot stand them. Gross.
I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to skim here quickly. Madam Web. Okay. It's talking about a whole lot of Sony stuff. Defender Saga.
Okay, wait. In speculation rumor, you know what we should have is that there's a ramping up of rumors about Daniel Radcliffe playing Wolverine. Have you seen the news? Did you already talk about this?
No, we didn't. I'm laughing because I've seen people be on the fence, but some people are like, he's going to be amazing. And some people are like, no, why Daniel Radcliffe? He's terrible. I'm like, how dare you? I think terrible. I just appreciate him as a person, as an actor even. So I'm like, I just have a soft spot for him.
Same.
You know, he's the right height, definitely. And I think that's what he said himself.
I just watched a TikTok of somebody asking him about it. And on the red carpet, he says, like, I appreciate that fans want a shorter Wolverine, which is more canonical with the comic books. Yeah. But I have not been approached, which is what the TikTok said. But the comment section was like, he must have learned from Andrew Garfield. That's hilarious.
Which anytime anybody lies, like even with Patrick Stewart being like, they just used my voice, it's not really me, everyone was like, yeah, okay, they're Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
And then he came out later being like, no, that is me, and everyone's like, yeah, we knew that, you were a terrible liar, you
know, like, we know, like, your voice. If anybody watched 9 seasons of The Next Generation, we know your voice, bro.
It's like, I know you're trying to be Andrew Garfield, but Andrew Garfield was kind of like a little bit more, you know, he practices lies a little bit better, Mr. Patrick Stewart. And it's okay. We love that you're in it. And we love that you're trying to surprise us. But that would be hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate Daniel Radcliffe. I do think he is a great actor. Like, the things that I've seen him in after Harry Potter, I really do appreciate. I do like the way he talks in interviews, the way he is very supportive of different causes and things, and I like him as a human being. So I would really like to see him get, you know, I would love to see him in the MCU, but again, I'm very biased because I like him. I know some people don't feel the same way. It would be interesting to go from, you know, Hugh Jackman to another, whoever it would be replacing him. People aren't going to like it anyways, because people love Hugh Jackman so much. They're going to go, we don't want anybody else to be it. I'm open to somebody new, whether it's Daniel Radcliffe or somebody we've never met before. I'm okay with that too. I'm happy to give other people a chance to enter into the MCU. It doesn't have to be somebody that is, you know, kind of already in Hollywood. So however it works out, I'm interested to see what happens.
I agree with you 100% on all the things that you said. I think the thing that gives me pause is that I don't think Daniel Radcliffe is ready to throw his hat into another all-encompassing franchise that takes years of his life. I think he's been very specific about the roles he's taken outside of Harry Potter to have, like, you know, a small run on something, or to be very interesting in a play, or like, I don't know, like, I'm going to see The Lost City on Friday, which is, he plays a villain in, and I'm very excited to see it because he looks so interesting in it. And he's one of the main reasons I want to see it, other than that the plot is like made for me. I'm so excited about it because of him, because I think like, he's been really specific to take these roles like this. And I would be really shocked to see him throw his hat into the Marvel ring because of how extensive the contracts are and how much of his life he gave to Harry Potter. So do I want to see him play something? Of course I do. But it would surprise me to see him sign on to play Wolverine, because that would be such an important character. And you know, they'd sign him for like a 12 movie contract.
Oh, yeah.
Gate, they'd be like, you're gonna be here for the next 37 years, sir.
Yeah. Unless they do like a, hey, we'll see how people take to this character kind of thing and then sign him on for more.
I think if it's Wolverine, they're going to sign him on. Whoever plays Wolverine is going to be signed on for a crazy amount of movies. True. That is my prediction. Because they're going to, number one, they're going to believe in their choice, which they should. Mm-hmm. Ever they choose, whether it's Daniel Radcliffe or whoever else has been, Taron Egerton has been floated. Lots of people have been floated. Mm-hmm. And I think there are so many people who could be a great choice for a new Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
That person, they're going to double down on because they've earned the right to double down on their casting choices. Yeah. They have made great choices. They have the right and they have it in their palm of their hand to say, look at what we've done. Come along for the ride. So I think they're going to sign that person for like a 48-year movie deal where they're like, you're never going to see the end of this. Your children will be signed on to play the children of your children. Like, it's just, it's going to be in a crazy contract. So that is the reason why it would give me pause that he would sign on for that. Because of what we know he's been through as a person in the Hollywood sphere. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. And I think we do, essentially coming back to the speculation and rumors, like bullet point, we need a new word for reboot because that's not what's happening.
Right, exactly. Because even with the Kingpin in Hawkeye, Vincent D'Onofrio was saying that it is a continuation of the Kingpin from Daredevil. So it's it's supposed to be. Whether or not they actually showed that is different, but it's supposed to be a continuation.
Right.
So if they're like, we're going to reboot it, it doesn't make any sense because I think they've pretty much established that these are the characters and we have seen their stories. Now we're just going to, you know, like you said, revisit.
Well, and the reason they're choosing Charlie and Vincent and the Defenders core is because Punisher is because those actors did such an important and memorable job with the role that we as the audience cannot let it go. And Marvel is recognizing that by putting them in No Way Home and Hawkeye. I mean, I think that's as the audience, we're recognizing that. So to say that they're rebooting it, I think the better word would be, is they're reintroducing them in their own way to the MCU, which while they were tentatively linked to the MCU, they weren't officially, we didn't see that connective tissue. Like they were part of it. They mentioned the events in New York and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that like through line was missing. And I think what they're trying to do is retcon the through line, which I fully support. So, you know, let's call it a reintroduction, but it's not a reboot.
I'm just skimming. It does say that they're trying to make it a more PG version. So I think that's what they mean by quote unquote reboot. It's just changing it up so it's more, you know, PG. But again, based off of what we got to see with, like, for example, with Eternals and having that, you know, that random scene in there that we talked about when we were watching that, and it was just like kind of thrown in there. And we were like, is this Marvel just trying to kind of be like, look, we're being more not PG? I feel like they can, you know, they can still
make something that's weird. Is that like that scene, which is obviously weird, but also the Deadpool that we know is coming down the pike, and also the integration of these Netflix Marvel shows onto the Disney Plus platform means that they are making room for more adult content. So why water down a quote unquote reboot or revisitation when you're already integrating the things that we already like? It's really up to the parents to decide whether or not your kid can go see this movie or not. I mean, I think that most parents would agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. It says Marvel Studios has a listing for a project simply described as Daredevil Reboot.
Okay, so maybe there's a separate untitled Marvel space project? Because it says include the listing of an untitled Marvel space project, so...
Yeah, because the only ones that are listed in this article are Deadpool 3, Madam Web, Kraven the Hunter. And I don't know why it says DCE movie Blue Beetle, but you know, apparently they included that in here too, in this article. But it's just, I think It's what the article is mostly saying is that they're trying to remake it into a more PG-13. And like you said, having those age restrictions on Disney Plus hopefully will help allow them, you know, to put on or keep Daredevil as it is. We know, like you said, Deadpool is not a PG. It's not a PG character at all, even in the comics. And the past movies weren't. And they're not planning on changing that from what I've been reading about, you know, the movies, the Deadpool 3. So it definitely makes sense that if they're trying to kind of, quote unquote, revisit, they're probably either trying to change it so it fits more into the rest of the MCU.
But you know what's funny is that, and again, like, we're about to wrap up, so we're not going to get into a huge talking point here, mm-hmm. but I think that the themes of Endgame, sex and violence mm-hmm. outside of that, are very adult and do mm-hmm. need to have, like, context for a child if you let a child or whatever age your mm-hmm. child is watch Endgame or Infinity War. There yeah. are very adult themes of, like, death and grief mm-hmm. and these are things that, like, are hard for a child to compute, just like sex and violence are. So mm-hmm. to say that just sex and violence
yeah.
need parental guidance is incorrect. Like, mm-hmm. grief and death are two things as well. And those are in some of the more PG-13 movies. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a conversation that encompasses a lot of different things. Obviously, John, as a father, would be somebody who would really weigh in, and Tim is the stepfather. Like, I think there are a lot of, like, different, like, things within that where we could really explore that we don't have time to, but I do think a parental guidance is really necessary. Saying mm-hmm. it doesn't belong on Disney Plus at all is incorrect, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, that is our news segment of this episode, episode 236. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you join us for episode 237, where we are deep diving on Ms. Marvel. Thank you for joining us, and catch us next time.